Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mind Body Greens Beauty Podcast. I am your host and Mind Body Greens Beauty Director, Alexandra Engler. On this podcast, we explore beauty through the lens of well-being. And on today's episode, I have on one of the greats. I am so excited to have her on. Without further ado, Judy Greer, welcome.
Hi, thank you. What a really nice introduction. Thank you.
Well, I mean, I am quite possibly one of your biggest fans, and I have had the pleasure of chatting with you before, so I know firsthand how lovely you are. So I cannot wait for this conversation. You know, most people, they know you for your acting work, and rightfully so, but because I have had the pleasure of chatting with you before, I also know that, you know, you are very interested in wellness and holistic well-being. And I want to start the conversation there. And I'm curious, you know, what was that journey like? What was your health and or where did your health and well-being journey start?
Well, pun intended. Sorry, I hate that I said that. I think it's really hard to live in Los Angeles and not find yourself on some kind of wellness journey. And anyone who does live in this city and isn't on a wellness journey, I'm totally jealous and you're punk rock. What can I say? It's like as hard as I tried when I first moved here, oh my gosh, like 20, 25 years ago, something like that. I was drinking Diet Coke and eating Slim Jims. That was my diet. I smoked cigarettes, like a pack or more a day. And I refused to do yoga. And I was really cranky all the time. And then, of course, like a year goes by, 2 years go by, and like it started to sink in, like all the things I was seeing and all the things I was hearing. And now within like the wellness community, it is like totally not limited to Los Angeles anymore. And we are inundated, especially as women, constantly, nonstop, from every angle. I don't know how we do it. It's gone from like having to sort of seek out something or seeing a person who has glowy skin and being like, how do you have such glowy skin? To being like constantly bombarded at all times with like wellness, with self-help, self-care. Like this is like, I mean, I want to say a $1 billion industry, but I don't know, maybe.
I mean, I think it might even be more at this point.
It's crazy. So my journey began with just like a constant attempts to quit smoking cigarettes in my 20s, in my early 20s when I first moved here. And it was just like whatever it took. Like at first I was sucking on lollipops all the time. Then I read an article about knitting. Then I read an article about eating edamame, like buying bags of frozen edamame and eating them in your car while you drove so that you weren't smoking. Like a million little things I tried. So that was the beginning of my wellness journey, was truly just to try to quit smoking cigarettes, which I will admit I started smoking cigarettes because legitimately I thought it looked cool. Like that's that, like, I'm so embarrassed.
I'm about to reveal my biggest wellness secret right now. I smoked in college in my early 20s because I was a bartender and I also thought it made me look cool.
Right? And also sometimes like you kind of needed like a thing, especially when you're bartending, to like get away from maybe a couple customers, like go light a cigarette or whatever. Anyway, also where I bartended in Chicago, the Camel reps handed them out for free. They came around every night and gave us free cigarettes. So thanks, guys. Anyway, I think that was the beginning. I had to, as part of my college class load in my acting program, we had to take yoga. So I had already taken yoga in college. It was like one of our required classes in theater school. Don't ask me why. So I had been taking yoga in college. So I come to Los Angeles from Chicago, and eventually I quit smoking. And eventually I signed up for a yoga class because that's like what everyone was doing. And it was like a fun thing to do when you're unemployed. You go to yoga, get coffee. It was like, there's half your day. But as far as like a real wellness journey, like I feel like that doesn't totally, well, for my generation, I feel like it doesn't really start until you start to look shitty. And then you're like, wait a minute, how come I can't eat pizza at 2 a.m. and wake up and look as cute as I always did? Like you start to notice like things about your body changing, your face changing. But I say my generation because I have a stepdaughter who's 27 and she and her girlfriends are like they're so healthy. Like, I think to myself, like, if I had the lifestyle when I was their age that they have, I mean, I would not be doing some of the things I'm doing now. Let's just put it like that. But they're taking such good care of themselves, like working out, exercising, being outside is like such a part of their routine. Like my stepdaughter just told me 2 weeks ago at dinner, she's like, yeah, I'm just keeping my skincare like super simple, like as simple as it can get. And my skin's never looked better. And I'm like, oh. Meanwhile, I'm like loading up like as many actives as I can. And I just had a facial actually a few weeks ago at Osea.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a studio in Venice and I got a facial there and she was like, stop using so many actives. I'm like, oh. So I'm talking forever about my wellness journey, but it really did start. It started out of necessity. I think now younger women, the generation underneath me, it starts because that's what they know, because that's what they grew up like seeing on their social media feeds and seeing their moms and their friends' moms and like older people that in their lives, how they saw us taking care of ourselves and how frankly they get marketed to. I mean, we are getting the amount of ads and the amount of like secret advertising that women get in this space is, I mean, it's so overwhelming sometimes. And sometimes, and it's the secret ads that are the scariest, but really, like, I can't open my laptop or turn on my phone without getting some push notification, or maybe someday I'll figure out how to turn those off. But, you know, without getting something marketing, like a product to me, a lifestyle change, an idea, a downloadable course, like,
and it's overwhelming.
It's really overwhelming and it's very time consuming. So let's just say you're only looking at the minutes of the day you spend just reading the things coming your way. This is before you've actually chosen to like engage with them or buy them or download them or really watch them. Like that's a whole chunk of time. And then if you were to read all the books that they're telling you to read, the articles, watching the YouTube videos, the TikTok, like all of that, the TikTok. I don't have TikTok. That's where I've drawn the line. But all that stuff, that's so time consuming. And I don't know truly like how helpful it all is. And I've been listening to this book, speaking of books, and I'm looking at my phone so that I can make sure I get the author's name right. So this book I'm listening to right now on Audible is called The Gospel of Wellness. And it's by Rena Raphael. And she's a journalist in the wellness space, and she's written this really incredible book. I'm about halfway through listening to it, and she reads it herself, which I always prefer on Audible. And it made so much sense when she said this, or wrote this, that because we're not trusting like Western medicine right now, and this will take me right into perimenopause and menopause, but like, because like people aren't really, for the most part, like doctors aren't necessarily listening to us. We're only in an office for an annual physical that our insurance covers for like 7 minutes or something insane like that. Like we've had to, out of necessity, look elsewhere. So when we're thinking about like Western medicine, like a straight up like doctor approach to ailments, to questions, to problems, to wellness, that's such a tiny little bubble. And I'm not saying that those solutions are even wrong. It's just like, can you get someone to listen to you? And can you get someone who's willing to take the time over several appointments to deal with the issue as it's coming up? And do you have time to go to several appointments? Do you have the insurance that will let you go to several appointments? My gynecologist, it took me many gynecologists. I went once a year to a different one until I found this woman here in Los Angeles that I'm obsessed with. Her name is Dr. Taz Varki. She's so incredible. And I've sent all my girlfriends to her, but she will make several appointments with me so that we can get through all the issues that I have. And we do a lot on telehealth if we're done with like the physical things, but just the questions that I have for her. So we talk a lot like through the telehealth server or platform because I'm able to get, you know, an extra 15 minutes with her. But that's, I think, why so many of us start looking outside of Western medicine, into Eastern medicine, into like, into movie star medicine, into whatever we can get our sticky fingers on so that we can feel better because no one's listening to us. And I don't And I do generalize because I have found some really great doctors in my life, but I have the privilege and the luxury of good health insurance and the ability to try different doctors until I can find the one I want. And I know that that is not available for everybody. I'm going to let you talk.
Judy, everything you just said is conversations I have with my girlfriends all of the time. I am constantly saying like, well, you know, if just medicine was set up easier for women, we wouldn't have to go through like, and, you know, researching and scouring the internet and doing all of this stuff to find ways to heal our bodies.
They're like, don't go on WebMD. Don't Google search anything. And I'm like, dude, then what? Like, I have had a period for 28 days. Like, if I'm not Googling that shit, like, how, like, I'm using an example from my past. I'm not currently on a 28 day period, but you know what I mean? I don't want to see those pictures. I don't want to read those articles. I don't want to, but like, I have no other option right now. It's true. And so like, we kind of do have to do a lot of this creepy, weird work on our own, and we have to talk to our friends. And then especially when it gets to this perimenopausal time in a woman's life. And, you know, if a woman is finished baby making, she doesn't want to make babies, she doesn't have the stuff to make babies, whatever it is, like once you're past that point in your life, it's like, as long as you don't have cancer, like there's no other discussion. And that's what's so creepy. They do. And we're going through, like, once you hit perimenopause, that age, that can be anywhere from like late 30s to early 50s. Like, it's different for every single woman, but like, no one's talking about it. And you get over 36 different symptoms. They're different for everybody. And it can drive you crazy. It is an opposite puberty. And while we all talk about, like, oh my gosh, like teenage kids and adolescents, and like, boy, it must be crazy. And then also, women get written off as like, oh, it must be, oh, I said, are you getting hot flashes? Like, for some reason, everyone only talks about hot flashes, which if all you have is hot flashes, they're terrible. But like, that's like a drop in the bucket of the symptoms that can make you feel like you're losing your mind. And because no one's talking about it, like, you start to feel like you're going crazy. You feel like you've been gaslit by medicine and by Western medicine. And so no one's believing you. And it can be especially dangerous because if you are a woman who has a doctor that isn't really listening to you, you could actually have other very serious medical concerns that they're just writing off as being perimenopausal. So it's weird. And I feel sort of bad for doctors sometimes because you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't. Like, if you don't listen to a woman and you don't take her seriously, like, she could have, like, you know, she could have many different kinds of cancers that she's dealing with. There could be thyroid issues. But then if you, you know, you do need to listen to her, but like, also you need to focus on the fact that it could just be perimenopausal symptoms that are also affecting her lifestyle. And that needs to be taken seriously too.
Yeah. I mean, everything that you just said towards the end, I think is extremely valid, but it just emphasizes the point that we need to be talking about this stuff more, because if we talked about this stuff more, then we would opening up the discussion. It just allows for freer flow of information so people can come armed to their appointments with more self-knowledge. And
yes.
Yeah. But, you know, this flows directly into obviously what I wanted to talk to you about. And perimenopause and menopause is something that you have become so passionate about. And, you know, you've started advocating for a wider discussion and a more honest discussion about. And I think it's really admirable. And to kind of backtrack a little bit, but to set the scene of why it's important to you, I guess my question is, yeah, why did this become such a passionate mission for you and your work?
It was passionate because I started to have some symptoms that made me feel really bad about myself. I mean, I think that we can all relate to, like, when your self-esteem takes a nosedive, like, it's so damaging and it affects your quality of life in such a huge way. And then on top of that, I have to go to work every day and be in front of a camera and perform in front of people, whether it's a crew or an audience or what have you. And so then that can be like especially debilitating when you're not really feeling your best. And as I started to just have like a little toe dip into some of these symptoms, like having that brain fog, having insomnia. I mean, that's really for anyone, it's frustrating, but like having like 14 hours on set, having to memorize pages of dialogue, like it was really affecting my quality of life. It was affecting the way I felt at work, but I had a really great set costumer, this woman named Susie. And one day she was like, oh, you're perimenopausal. And at first I was like, go fuck yourself. I'm not that old. But then the more research I started doing, I realized like that starts for women, even in their late 30s, it can. So then that was sort of like the beginning when I started to think, oh my gosh, like it made me feel better because I thought, well, I'm not crazy or I'm not losing my mind or something. And the more research I started to do, the more I realized like, oh, this is something that like, maybe I can start to manage. And if I start to manage it now, like it won't affect me as badly, as much. And then around the same time that I'm starting to do my own Googling about it, a friend of mine named Corey Scholebo approached me about, he was wanting to start a company with a friend of his, a woman who'd gone through very early menopause, of supplements for women in perimenopause. And I was like, that was so weird. As my friend would say, the universe was very chatty that week because I was like, how is this happening that I'm like feeling this way, thinking about these things? And then an old friend of mine reaches out about wanting to work with them on this topic. And I guess that's how I got involved with Weil. But I got excited about this topic because I felt like, again, no one was really talking about it. I asked my doctor about it. One doctor, these are different doctors that I see now, but one wanted to put me on antidepressants. And I was like, I don't really want to take Prozac. Another just wanted me to go back on the birth control pill. Another wanted me to take an IUD. And like, those are all great solutions for so many problems, but I didn't feel like that was really like holistically going to treat everything that was going on. And frankly, like I didn't want to be on those pills again. I didn't want to have to be back on the pill after how many years of being on the pill as a kid. I didn't want an IUD and I did not want to take Prozac. I didn't really feel like that was going to do the trick. So that's how I kind of got involved. That's how I got involved with Weil and just having this conversation and not being afraid of it. I mean, Weil's been so wonderful. And I started taking the product 6 months before I decided to work with them because I was like, I want to make sure it works and that I like it. And I did, and it did. But I was really excited about starting this conversation. And, you know, since we launched Weil, it's been insane. Like so many people are talking about perimenopause and menopause right now. Like it is not that scary taboo topic anymore. Naomi Watts started a line of skincare. There's hair care. Gabrielle Union has been extremely vocal about her struggles. Like this is exactly what we need right now, is just to get the conversation going. And I get mad when it's just like celebrities are talking about it. So now it's a thing, but unfortunately, sometimes that's how it works.
I mean, somebody has to start talking about it. You know, somebody has to be that catalyst. And celebrities are in the spotlight. So it tends to make sense that they would be.
They have the platform.
Right? You know, I'm curious, why do you think now is the time where the conversation has started to become more open? Do you think there's like a social media element to it? Do you think that there's just something happening in the zeitgeist where it feels more urgent now? I'm curious, why do you think it's happening?
I think it has to be social media. I mean, zeitgeist is, I think it's out there. I think it's in the zeitgeist because of social media. I don't know. I mean, God, there's so many things I know about because of social media. Like there's so many communities that I can be a part of because of social media. And I think I've never heard anyone in my life talking about it. It's not like I sat around and listened to my aunts and my older cousins talking about menopause. So it's not like that conversation was really happening around me. And I would imagine that's the same for most women my age. But then with the advent of social media, like everything's out there now. And I mean, it's algorithms when you really get down to it. It's not so much like social media. It's that like my algorithm is like, oh, she's in her late 40s, like, well, maybe mid, depending on what you consider mid. But like, it's just algorithms feeding us the things that we want to hear. So I could say it's Gwyneth Paltrow, it's Naomi Watts. Like, no, it's like the fucking stars or like wherever these satellites are. Like, it's algorithms that are telling me these things, but I'll take it. Sometimes I'm into an algorithm. Like, I don't like to search for any music on Spotify that I'm not sure I'm going to love because I'm like, no, my algorithm on Spotify is so good right now. Like, my daily mixes are so good, but I'm sure that's what it is.
And once you get a good daily mix, you cannot mess it up.
My gosh, no, I'm never searching for the blues. I don't care how many songs my dad told me to look up. I won't do it.
No, I think you're absolutely a spot on with the social media slash algorithm element of it all. But you know,
what are microphones?
God, truly listening to us all the time. you mentioned earlier in your answer is, you know, you didn't sit around listening to people talk about it. And I, you know, I'm solidly a millennial and I didn't even have that either. And so I've never talked to my aunts or my mom about any of this stuff. And I wonder, like, how do we start that intergenerational conversation? And like, what is missing? Like, what's that missing piece?
I mean, if you want to get like really meta, it's because we're not living with multi-generational houses and communities anymore. So the big, huge picture is that like we have lost, for the most part in America, the sense of like family, community, elders, the respect of our elders. So like, that's one of the reasons. Like if you read that Dan Buettner, he wrote this great book and there was a documentary, The Blue Zones, right? And he talks about like the people who live the longest are living in multi-generational households. So that's why you and I didn't hear those people talking about it, because the second we were 18, we probably moved away and never went back. Like we're not staying in, generally, we're not staying put anymore. We're like leaving. Whereas people used to stay where they grew up. They stayed in their family.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're spot on.
I think the pandemic has adjusted that. I think I know a lot of people who are like, we're out. We're going to move back home, like be near family. Like we can work from home now. We figured that out. So yada, yada. So like, I think that has maybe we're starting to sort of like slowly shift back towards that. And like with the whole work from home phenomenon, maybe that will change. But I know that I don't know anyone who lives where they grew up.
No, not at all.
Even my parents.
I know. I mean, my parents still live in the house that I grew up in, but I'm from Nebraska and I love my parents so much, but I just can't imagine me moving back to Nebraska anytime soon.
I know.
Okay. So earlier you talked about how you were experiencing some signs of perimenopause that you didn't necessarily realize were signs. And I do think that that is a crucial part of this conversation, because being able to identify what's happening in your body is the first step to caring for it, right? And in your journey of learning about perimenopause and menopause and, you know, working with Weil, what are some of the more uncommon signs that either you experienced or you've talked to people who've experienced?
Well, for me, it started with insomnia and I didn't understand why that was happening. Like I was a good sleeper and then all of a sudden I wasn't sleeping. And I didn't really understand like what that was. I mean, there's a lot of factors that can lead to insomnia, like certainly like screen time, like all the stuff that we all read and the 5 ways to sleep better pop-ups that come. But that was like a first symptom for me. And then I was having night sweats. And night sweats are important because night sweats are a symptom of like a lot of different things. So if you are a woman and you are having night sweats, like you should definitely go to a doctor and get tested for several things. Like definitely call your doctor and tell your doctor, like, I'm having pretty intense night sweats, because that's something that you want to get checked out. Like it can be well, I don't want to say because I'm not a doctor, but it can be some really scary shit. So that's one thing. But I didn't know that either. And I was like, oh, my God, like, why am I sweating through my pajamas and having to like set second pajamas on the floor next to the bed? Like, this was crazy. So that, and then also like forgetfulness. I didn't really realize that that was, those were like the three things that started happening to me. And then that was pretty much it for a while. Those are the three things that I noticed. And so it wasn't like I was having like hot flashes. It wasn't like, I'm always pretty emotional. I think that's, I don't know, that's just who I am. But like the range and the quickness of the shifting of my emotions, like it felt like when I was a teenager again. Like just that fast change, that shift, that despair, that joy, like happening so fast, I couldn't really keep up with my own emotions. And so those were the first things for me. But like, I mean, like I said earlier, there's more than, like there's 36 symptoms. So like, it's interesting if you look up a list of symptoms, like you're probably having all of them, some of them, one of them all the time anyway, you know? So it's really, and what you said was really important, I think, is to start listening to your body. And I think in this society where we're like so focused on productivity, that we're not listening to our bodies anymore. We're not slowing down and understanding how we feel after we eat certain foods. Like we're so really just starting to feel like is these shifts that start to happen kind of slowly. And maybe that's something that you want to start like writing down in your journal, like a little bit, keeping, you know, we all have these iPhones and there's great apps on those about like writing down like subtle shifts in your cycle and how you feel during your cycle and what your cycle is like. A lot of people notice the first change in their cycle, whether it's like not as regular or it's heavier or the PMS symptoms are changing. Like that's another clue too, that things are starting to subtly shift.
Yeah. Moving on to how you have cared for your body and, you know, just even broadly how people should be caring for their body during perimenopause. We talked earlier about this idea of searching for holistic solutions because we feel like we need options that are wider than perhaps what Western medicine can give us. And, you know, I've spoken to you before about all the ways that you take care of yourself, and you are a very holistic person. You know, we talked about your sauna blanket. And
it's right there.
And so, you know, I'm curious, like, how did you approach taking care of your body during this hormonal shift?
Well, I'm like pretty quick to try things. Like I'm not a skeptic. I mean, like I'm healthily skeptical, but like I still want to try it first. So for me, I kind of start to dig into the research online, which again, not always the smartest thing to do, but like so sleep, for example, like finding out how as you age, like alcohol affects your sleep. So I'm like, okay, great. Like what's more important, having a glass of wine or having a good night's sleep? Because I don't get both anymore. Like I have to choose one or the other. So I got rid of that. So it's like, so basically I've started to notice like where things are breaking down. And you have to play that game in your head of like, is X worth Y? Like, is it worth it to do this? You know, am I, my like my brain fog, my sleep, things like that, like the exercise, like getting up an hour earlier to exercise, because exercise is so good for our brains, obviously our body, like shifting. I've started lifting weights, shifting my workout even to like, just like old fashioned weightlifting. Like it's crazy, but all the research I'm doing about women in their 40s and as you start to enter into middle age, like you need to lift heavy weights because of osteoporosis, because of muscles burning more calories, like creating more muscle mass is so important. And like, I've been really enjoying it. I'm not going to lie. That was a big shocker that I was like, oh, I kind of like this. Like I'm getting really strong. I can totally hoist the heaviest carry-on in the overhead compartment and I don't need any help, but I will take it if someone offers. But like those things make me feel really good about myself.
As it should. I very much struggle getting my heavier bags into the overhead compartment. So brava.
Well, I think about like, you know, as you age, you start to think like I'm, it's a slight shift into like how I look and in like from how I look into like, what do I want my life to be like? Like, I love walking. I want to walk. I want to travel all over the world. I want to walk 10 miles a day. So whatever I can do to make sure that's available to me for as long as possible. Like my mom joking about putting something in the overhead compartment. Like my mom loves to travel and she loves to take little trips. And the idea that someone would maybe not help her put her suitcase overhead, like while she's trying to get in her seat on the airplane, like, first of all, if you see my mom, please help her with her suitcase because like, I don't want her to hurt her shoulder, but these are all these weird little things that start to happen. These strange little injuries, like because of your suitcase, because you trip on a crack in the sidewalk, like all these little things, they can take you down. And that's what we want is like, that's not what we want, but we want this feeling of like strength and mobility and stretchiness and like really to keep up your lifestyle. So I think that the shift comes, it's like away from vanity and towards strength and movement.
Yeah, it's hugely important. I mean, all of the research shows just how vital strong skeletal muscle is for just a wide range of benefits of the full body. I mean, it's unbelievable. And it bums me out that women were encouraged to not lift weights for so long, because just like think about all of those generations of benefits that could have happened before us. It's sad. I don't like it.
And the example like that we would have been given if like women ahead of like generations in front of us had lifted weights. I mean, it's funny. I was talking to these two friends of mine last week. They're both men, but we were laughing because both of their wives are like, I don't want to lift weights because I don't want to bulk up. And I was like, oh my God, I wish I could tell women like, do you know what you would have to lift and what you would have to eat in order to bulk up? Like, that is not going to happen. Like, unless you're on like a Michael Phelps diet and you're like lifting, like really weightlifting, like 5 days a week and you're taking creatine and you're only like the idea that like, or I should say this misconception that like women will bulk up, like you're fine. You're not going to bulk up. Like, I promise you.
Someone on my team said something really funny the other day, but we were talking about this exact same topic. And she said something along the lines of like, steroid use wouldn't be a thing if it was that easy to bulk up. And I was like, yep, absolutely.
I'm fully feeling that because I can't tell you like how many of my friends are like, I don't want to bulk up. And I'm like, okay, yeah. But I still stand by this statement, which I've stolen from photographers. You ask a photographer, like, what's the best camera? They'll say the one that you have with you. And so I always say when people are like, what's the best workout? I'm like, the one that you like to do, because I don't care what you're doing. You have to exercise. So do the one you like. And if the one you like is yoga, if it's walking, if it's lifting weights, if it's Pilates, if it's spinning, like whatever gets you to do it, just do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. There's no one perfect workout.
Yeah, I'm excited about what the future of perimenopause and menopausal care looks like. I just think there's so many innovations on the horizon. I think there's a lot of wonderful companies like yours who are just doing really exciting work. So, you know, I'm obviously optimistic. I assume you're optimistic as well. But, you know, I'm curious, what do you think the future of menopause care looks like?
Well, I think like communication, I think we're entering into a time when like you said, like we discussed, like people are going to start talking about this and we're going to have a lot more options for how we want to go into menopause, which is actually one day of your life. It is not like menopause is one, it's a 24-hour time period, 365 days after your last period. So when people say like, oh, I'm in menopause, I always want to be like, right this second. Is a year ago today you had your last period? Because that's the only time you're in menopause. So you're perimenopausal, which can be like 15 years leading up to that one day. You can be postmenopausal, but like menopause itself is one day, people. I mean, look, if you want to ride that, if you want to celebrate your birthday month, go for it. I'm here to support you. But like, anyway, so that I think the future is like getting a better vocabulary about what in general women's bodies are. I mean, we've been talking about the vagina for 100 years. It's the vulva. Like the vagina is a whole, that's a thing inside the, anyway, right? So like, you know, because we weren't supposed to talk about our bodies and we weren't supposed to talk about things that weren't girly or ladylike, you know, we have missed a lot of conversations. So I think when I think of what the future of perimenopausal care is, I think of the future of just women's health in general. And I don't think I want to just like keep this tiny little bubble. I want it to like be, again, holistic. Like I want it to encompass like the entire life of a woman. Because when we can talk about this stuff, we can talk about all of it, then we can, when we can handle like whatever comes our way. And, you know, I don't really understand. I listen to some podcasts and I read about hormone disruptors and I worry a lot about that. And I don't really understand what that is. And like, people are like, don't have anything with fragrance, but like, I like to smell like all the things. I like the fragrance.
Fragrance isn't bad inherently. What people don't like is that there's a lot of ingredients that go into fragrance that could be endocrine disruptors. It is such a complicated topic that I struggle with it.
I want you to have on an expert and I want to listen to that podcast because I
will for you.
Thank you. Because I really want to know about that stuff because I think if we're talking about women's health, I think that there's a lot of things that maybe we've been doing that we probably shouldn't be doing. I also feel like another level of women's health that I would love to see happen is like the pink tax to be gone. Like, why are we paying more for the same products than men? And why are we even buying tampons and pads? And like, I am very excited about the advent of period underwear and menstrual cups. And my friend Carla Welch has an incredible company called The Period Company, which sells period underwear, and they're great. And that's what I use. I love them. But I think that like, as we move forward, when we think also about the environmental factors of all of like monthly waste, tampon waste, pad waste, like all this stuff, I mean, we've got to figure that out too. But I'm curious to see. I mean, I think that like starting conversations is always a good thing. I think we are having these conversations. And I think that like sometimes you can't, what's the phrase, let the perfect be the enemy of the good? Like, it's okay if it's not all happening at once. It's okay that we're just talking about it and maybe like a few steps forward, one step back, like those types of, it's still better that you and I are on a podcast talking about it.
Yeah, it's still movement. Well, Judy, the last thing I want to talk to you about is how you take care of yourself. I know we've touched on a lot of those elements throughout this episode, so we don't have to rehash those. But, you know, I always like to close out the episode by diving into a little bit into people's routines. So, you know, what are some of your favorite beauty steps?
Well, I was just recently taught about double washing, which I did not know. And I am one of those people, I love getting ready for bed. Like, I never go to bed without washing my face and like doing something to it. So I'm not one of those girls that's like, ooh, I can't believe some of my friends never wash their face before they go to bed. I'm like, oh. I mean, I would have to have been so drunk. Anyway, even I remember my college girlfriend, I'd be like, oh my God, I drank too much last night. And she'd be like, did you wash your face? I'm like, well, yeah, I fucking washed my face. And she'd be like, well, then you weren't that drunk. So ladies, if you wash your face, you were okay last night. So I've just now started double washing, which I'll keep you posted, which makes total sense when I think about it.
Yeah. Oil cleanser, then a more sudsy one. Love it.
It's great. So that's exactly what I do. Anyway, I love my nighttime routine and I've been trying to chill on the actives, like I said before, like just to kind of like simplify it a little bit. It's hard because I do like to try new products and I am such a consumer, but I do always go back to the Ulta sunscreen during the day. And then my dermatologist, Christy Kidd, she has a line of skincare called Perfect Skin, which there's only three products in it. It literally couldn't be simpler. And I love that, all that for nighttime. And then I do like a vitamin C during the day. And like we talked about before, I bought the higher dose, like infrared sauna bag, and I bought it and I used it. And then I was like, this thing is crazy. And And then I was using it, like, I kind of stopped using it for a minute. Oh, I was out of town working. That's why. I was like, why did I say? Anyway, I didn't bring it with me. I came back after being out of town for 3 months and I got back in it and I was using it like 3 times a week. And I'm like, oh, it actually works. Like, I feel really good. Like, my joint pain has decreased. I feel like my metabolism is just like a little bit kickstarted. I really like the time just laying there. I do 30 minutes 3 times a week, which they're like, start with that. And I'm like, if I have more time than that, then God bless me. But right now I'm like, start with 3 times a week, 30 minutes. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot.
But I do really like it. And I mean, we talked about exercise. We talked about sleep hygiene, which is important. I take my Wild supplements and I take some basic vitamins. I've stopped taking a multivitamin and I just take the things I need. Like right now I'm taking a E, a C, a multi, like a mixed B and a vegan fish oil. So it's like algae oil, not fishes. So I've been taking those and I've been really good about that. And what else?
I mean, that's a pretty good list. So
I also don't have little kids at home. So I'd like to say, if anyone's listening and they're like, how about, and I'm like, I don't have, sorry, I shouldn't swear. My husband told me I swear too much. But yes, I realized that like I have an empty nest lifestyle. So,
well, I think it's all, everything that you do, I think is, I feel like it's successful. I feel like, you know, getting your supplements in and, you know, making sure you wash your face at night. And that's not crazy.
The sauna bag is maybe like a little bit insane. But you could do the sauna bag before you go to bed.
Yeah. So I just got my first one. I haven't, I'm testing it for a story. I haven't started testing it. So I might be a little late on that story, but I'm excited. So I'll let you know how I like it.
I really like it. I'm super into it. And I was skeptical, but like, again, like, I'm like, I'm going to try it. And I really think it's great. I mean, in a fantasy land, I would have like the one that you sit inside, like in my backyard or something, but like, you know, that's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Judy, this was amazing, as I knew it would be.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for letting me just prattle on. I love talking about this stuff.
But it was all interesting.
I hope so.
Well, you're good at talking about it, so you should keep on doing it.
Thank you.
Sure. Well, thank you again for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. For more beauty content from the team at MindBodyGreen, you can always read along with our content at mindbodygreen.com, follow us on social media, and of course, tune into next week's episode. If you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to rate and review us. And if you ever want to reach out with questions or insights or thoughts, you can find me on Instagram at Alex_Blair_. Thanks so much for your time.